Well, welcome to Course in Miracles, everybody. We're starting a new section tonight. Hello, Andrew. Good to see you, brother.
Hi, everyone.
So, of course, the entire chapter is called The Vision of Holiness. So we get to work with this word vision. We get to, it's actually concluding the chapter really with a heavy duty hit on vision here for us. And so that's what we're going to work on principally tonight. Again, and for the next couple of times we're together, super good stuff. You know, this is the kind of orientation that you would hope for, I think, in a spiritual path. To have, you know, the guide, which is the book, lay out for you what can you expect. You know, what are you doing? You know, what do I do? How do I do it? How do I not do the wrong thing? And what does it mean to do the right thing according to this path? I mean, all that stuff is laid out in A Course in Miracles clearly. And vision, the way A Course uses it, is definitely one of those things. It's a descriptive term that's used. When you start to get a handle on it, it's used again and again. And it really helps you distinguish from the ego maneuvers. And it really calls you, each time you think a vision, it calls you to go up to the spiritual level, away from the material level. And the way it's used in the text is clever, 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 so that your ego wants to read it using your eyes. But the book clearly says this is not your eyes. And so it's a bridge word, you know, and bridge sections, where you're steering away from the temptation of the ego and of the world, where all the limit is, and you're going toward freedom. And this is one of those steps that A Course in Miracles describes so well throughout the entire book, the vision. And so, you know, this is a wonderful feature of this material that we're studying. So let's kind of get in that space before we jump in. So let's take a few minutes and get comfortable. Just spend 5 or 6 or 7 minutes. And let's find out where you are. This is for you to find out where you are. This is a gift from you to you. Maybe you'll share it with the group. Maybe you won't. But this is a gift from you to you. This will give you your own terminology. It will give you your own perspective. It'll let me and everybody else here work with you if you want to share what you believe about vision. It just means we can work better together and we can teach each other. Each time we get very honest about these, in these meditations, it helps us teach each other and surface, let the Holy Spirit speak through each of us. It's one of the ways we can do it quite quickly. So, the question is, we all know the term vision, and Andrew Huang was with us for the last meeting here that we had last week, so he's now familiar also with the word vision, at least somewhat. But I got a question for you and your spiritual journey. Vision, okay, fine. Vision of what? That's it. You already know that when A Course in Miracles uses vision, it does not mean the body's eyes. That's seeing, which is used loosely in the beginning of the book, but after it starts to use vision, really tightens up. Vision is with the mind. Vision is a healing term. Vision is an awakening term. Vision is a movement to the spiritual level, for sure. But here you are in the body. Here you are, often holding the treasure in this world, in this body, in time and space, a treasure in your heart, and you want to maximize this experience in your heart, as high as your heart will lead you. Here you are in this body, in space and time, and you say you're on a spiritual path. Good. It'd be quite confusing, though. So I want you to take the next few minutes to just sit with this idea and open up to what's actually there tonight in you. Vision of what would you get with your spiritual awakening? What do you gain when vision comes upon you? What is something that vision gives you that your eyeballs cannot? Why would A Course in Miracles need this word vision as part of its teaching? What is vision? What does it mean in A Course in Miracles? And finally, sort through all of that and just pick one aspect, one word or one phrase or one understanding that you have where you are tonight of what does vision do for you? What can it do for you? Or what do you want it to do for you? Or what do you hope it'll do for you? Or what has it done for you? Just pick something that you own, or at least hope, of what vision does on your spiritual path. Luann, unmute yourself and then tell us what's something you know about vision.
Well, truthfully, I'm not sure I know anything about vision, but what came to me when I asked was vision for me is what I have experienced as the power of oneness and love.
Yeah, the power of oneness and love.
And what it gives to me is the faith and determination to find out what that is completely and know it.
And the power of oneness and the power of love is something that you would have faith in and would give you the faith. Good, good. Ross, tell me something about vision.
So it occurred to me that the sonship is not just people that we have special relationships. It's everything. And I confirmed that. I read it somewhere that's how it is. It's everything is part of the sonship. And
all God's creation. Yeah.
Well, or everything we made, too.
Everything.
But, and then from a science point of view, it's like, You think you see with your eyes something solid, and then you go to something like water. Is it a solid? Is it a liquid? Is it a vapor? Yes. So what is it? It's all of the above. So really, everything is mostly empty space. So just from a science point of view, when you start looking at stuff, you go, well, it's empty space. And if I heated it up enough, it would be a gas. So it's just heat would make it not solid.
It is not what it appears to be.
Exactly, even from a science point of view.
There's a short sentence in the middle of the text and it's describing the ego. It's this sentence. Its very nature is that it is not. That's the very nature of the ego and all things ego. Very short sentence. Iambic pentameter, by the way, of course. Yeah, that's really true, isn't it? The science is showing us more and more that what appears to be there is not actually there, even when you get down to levels of protons and neutrons. Those are just words to describe observations and energy fluctuations. Did you know that if you took all the humans on the entire planet and you took all the space out of them, that's in between each molecular particle, all the empty space, the entire 8 billion people would fit in 1.5 sugar cubes. Did you know that? It's really easy math. It's really easy math to do. So you're right, a bunch of empty space. And even those particles now, we know, are also just so high energy that we didn't know we could collapse those two. We didn't know when this statistic came out in 1985. Yeah, so tell me, what's vision? Is that vision that it dissolves the error, that you have to deny the error with? Is that what it is? What are you talking about?
Well, that what you see with your eyes isn't what's going on at all, so you might as well not believe them.
There's another way to see, and it's not with your eyes. Excellent. Love it. Love it. Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah, I love it when, and no, Sudari's not here. One of her favorite movies is What the Bleep Do We Really Know? And that movie just illustrates all sorts of things that you think you see that aren't what you think you see.
Well, even the eye itself has a giant hole in it, and the brain fills in where that hole is with pseudo-information.
It's amazing how well it does that. Yes.
Sort of.
Good, good, good. Michaeline, tell me something about vision. Do you need vision at all for your spiritual path? Well, you're muted. You got to unmute yourself. I used to be able to unmute people, but I lost that power.
That's okay. Sorry. Vision is my spiritual path. A lot of what everyone's been saying, but for me, it's like the recognition and experience of unknowing knowingness. I guess that's, I don't know.
I love it.
An unknowing knowingness. And that there's an unfolding. I experience it mostly when I suspend thought.
Tell me more about the unknowing knowingness. Teach us. Teach us what you mean by that.
That my ego tells me I know things, and the vision is knowing I know nothing. No, that I know nothing. That
beautiful, beautiful, excellent.
And
excellent. That is the paradox of the spiritual awakening. Is that you're going from the material, measurable knowing, where science will help you measure it, picture it, share it among other people who will go by your measurements. But when you get into things like love or spirituality or spiritual awakening, it's not the same measure, is it? You can't use the yardstick. You can't use money. You can't use physical successes in the world. You can't use applause. You can't use anything in the world to measure success for this spiritual knowing that will free you from all the limits of the world.
And when I'm aware of it, what it gives me is it releases me from suffering. when I'm
that
suffering.
Would be good motivation. That's a good motivation. And Michaeline, I've known you for years, and yeah. I have watched you walk out of suffering with your work. So well done. Congratulations. And thank you for teaching us all along the way. This is a healing Course in Miracles student you are looking at right now. For sure. Vision, the unknowing knowing. I love it. Because with the Holy Spirit, when you have a holy instant, when the Holy Spirit is working with you, you do get a knowing, don't you? But it's invisible. There aren't the perfect words or phrases to say, here's exactly what happened and why and how I know it'll work, where else it's going to work. No, that's true with when you learn how to use the clutch in your car. You can drive any car that has a clutch, more or less, because you know they're all the same. Once you know how to do it, good. Good for you. This goes from the limited world. This is a movement out. We vision the unknowing knowing. So I love how you said that, because you really did just put right out there. It was really ineffable, it was unspeakable, in really good words. Because you feel you know something. You start to know in your heart, you're now in your capital H heart, that light is starting to leak into the darkness of the world. The contrast of knowing that spirituality is a strength, even in the physical world, is marked by a decrease in suffering. Just like you said. So bravo. And this is her teaching from her life's experience. It's so certain. Luann.
This is entirely different from the subject, but when you are talking, I don't hear this noise, but when you're not talking, I'm hearing kind of like a bell, but constantly. And I'm wondering, I don't know if it's you or what, but it's driving me crazy. Or...
You beat me to that punchline.
Amazing.
All right. I don't know. So if somebody has a noise in their background, actually, everybody. I don't hear it.
I think it might be a ceiling fan and Michaeline's, perhaps.
Is it gone now, Luann?
Yes, it is.
Okay, it's my air conditioner.
Good. Good sleuth work. Jacqueline, tell us about vision. Do you need vision? Are you using vision? And what's vision? What can you tell us?
Well, there's a couple of things in the book. There was one of the things says, your question should not be, how can I see my brother without the body? Ask only, do I really wish to see him sinless? And for me, this has really been something I've been focusing on, and I feel like this is a stepping stone. I had a holy instant, which I feel gave me a vision of understanding. I really saw sinlessness was not what the word that came to me at the time. It was, we're children of God. We're all children of God. We're innocent. I've never harmed anybody. No, you know, it was just understanding of sinlessness. That was in 2012. So I feel like that holy instant is a stepping stone, and that understanding is a stepping stone for more vision, for vision beyond that. And it's the holy instant to return to remember, because I can feel it when I think about it, because it was, you know, holy instants are powerful. You remember them. To remember that when I'm looking out at the world and looking out at other friends and family and strangers, to really keep remembering, no matter what, we're all sinless. That person is sinless, innocent. There is an innocence. And I feel like that leads to more vision.
It leads that way. That's right. You will get as much as you can handle at the time. And you will progress as you're willing. Now, this is key now, because this is actually what happens with your spiritual awakening and learning. It's not that you suddenly get it. Because you're so steeped in this world, that would bring too much fear. It's possible you can get it, boom. But the Course says it's very unlikely because of how deeply, deeply committed to a body and a separate existence. You have. You are. And there's nothing wrong with that. Except that you think that's all that you are. And that's just to be healed. So your awakening is going to appear to be a revealing. That's why revelation is kind of a nice word, because it's when you're available for it, then you can see it. And so that's the way your spiritual awakening occurs, is by how much you can tolerate. Now, what are you actually tolerating? You're not tolerating your ability to see the truth. Careful. I know I'm going very fast now, perhaps. You see, it isn't the truth that is withheld from you. None of the truth is withheld from you because of what you are and what you actually are. You cannot hide the truth from that, what you actually are. So that's all your spiritual work is to have, discover the truth, or have the truth given to you by God or something like that. The truth is not withheld from you. What you are doing with your vision and with your spiritual work, with your Course in Miracles, and with your lessons day by day, as much as you can personally afford, is to remove the blocks that you love. Hate to make it personal here. You love some of the blocks of space and time and the world and your body and so forth. These are the blocks that you have that are even anger. Appropriate anger, right? Against a certain politician at whatever time, or the certain criminal, or the certain disease, or the certain figure in history that you love to hate because it makes you feel like you know what's right and wrong. That's training of the world. It's training of the world. It's training of the world. So just as Jacqueline said, your vision will come to you, and as Michaeline said, you have less suffering each time you access the healing of A Course in Miracles, of your spiritual awakening. But mark this, you are not finding more truth. You're letting go of the false.
Yeah.
Andrew, yeah. One thing that I kind of use is that the unfolding of the truth.
Nice.
Instead of looking, seeking, pondering any of that, it's like when I'm in that place of that knowing unknowingness, things unfold. The truth unfolds.
I like that. Imagine a big cloth all folded up, and it looks like a square. And then you unfold part of it, now it's a rectangle. You unfold it again, it's four times as big. Great word. It's the whole cloth is there right in front of you, but you can only see one facet of it until it's unfolded. I love it. It's great.
Also, there's one place that says you only need one holy instant, actually. I go, huh.
Julie, how many holy incense are there? I mean, total, how many can you have? How many different flavors are there? Can you work out? Do you get?
Well, because time is an illusion in itself, there is just one holy instant.
Just one? But what about, the holy instance I would have with a family member versus a boss versus near somebody's deathbed? You're telling me those are all the same?
So something that I like to think of, I always think of it as we're remembering because of the blocks. It's not a new experience. We're remembering what we are. And eternity, the idea of eternity, I always knew it had no end, but it actually has no beginning either. Mm-hmm. There just is. So we're remembering.
Nice. There's one holy instant that you visit over and over again as you can afford. As you can step your ego aside, you get glimpses of this one beautiful, holy instant that defies time, of course. Thank you, Julie. Very good. Andrew Huang, tell us something about vision. What do you think it is, or what do you know it is? Heck, you've read at least what? How many pages of this book so far?
Just a chapter.
Okay. That's it. All right, what do you got?
Well,
oh my God, chapter one. You must have taken Tylenol if it was chapter one. That is tough reading. It gets way easier after chapter five. Keep it up.
Yeah, I'm taking a break.
Oh my God. Hey, listen, read the manual for teachers first.
Okay. Oh, okay.
100 pages, great reading. It will help you understand the terminology. Yeah.
Okay, I'll go there then.
No, I know. Headache City in the first couple chapters. Yeah.
Right.
Way more to you years down the road. It's packed. Too packed. What's vision? What do you think it is?
I was connecting with my higher self or Holy Spirit, and I just got, I guess I got more like intuitive downloads, you can say.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem kind of random, so like little bits and pieces, but mm-hmm. I heard the word expansion, and I saw a circle. And I also saw a man fishing at a lake. And then I also heard liminal spaces. And then, yeah, remembering pretty much, yeah.
Love it. I love your open-mindedness. Some of those, you might have seen a couple of us nodding our heads because some of the words you used are in some of the prayers in here. There's some meditative passages in here. There's a circle, and you're on the outside looking in. There's not a man fishing, as far as I know. Somebody else have to pull that one out. Cool. Very good. Stop reading and go to the back and read the manual for teachers. Good.
Don't you think the man for fishing is kind of, in a way, a metaphor for what we're doing? We're fishing for the answer. You have to.
Or Jesus saying,
that's what it feels like.
You're a fisher. I'm a fisher of souls or something. And did Jesus say that to one of the apostles?
Fishermen of men, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. In fact, you might enjoy the manual for teachers, and then the back of your book has another couple of pamphlets that came after the scribing of the course. Those are also really instructive. You can kind of read through those, and it should be sufficiently mind-blowing and orienting. And then the rest will make so much more sense. Yeah, good.
Okay.
Donna, tell us something about vision. You have to unmute yourself first, though.
Can you hear me now? Yeah, I guess you can. So, you know, the left brain words kind of come in when I'm trying to define it. But the experience of what I've had is like, that's the reference point for me of the experiences I've had. And so the experiences of vision that I had that was more profound, that has just stayed as a reference point, is that, you know, it was really like everything has, it's an experience like everything has its own purpose, and everything is doing just fine. Everything is, I'm not in charge of anything, and it's all, everything is happening. There's no separation, you know. It's like on a smaller scale when I go see my grandchildren and I see them, and I'm so happy in that first instant. But then I realize I already feel like I never left them. So it kind of feels odd that I even came all the way down to see them and have the thoughts like, it's been so long since I saw you, because it doesn't feel, you know, like I've really gone anywhere, or they have. So it's those kinds of things, and it has a quality of love that's there, and there's no identity in it. I'm free from an identity, and it reminds me, there's somewhere in the course it says something like your practice, like with the holy instant or whatever, it depends on your willingness to let go of littleness, on something about littleness. And so it's like you're the center of the world, but everything is the center of the world. There's no center. So those are some of the experiences.
Hey, anybody, including Donna, you, of course, you should answer first. In order to be able to say what she just said, which is everything is fine just the way it is. Did you see the look on her face? She puts her hands out and she says everything. I think she meant everything. Unqualified. What would it take to go from, I got a problem here, could be a problem there, could be a problem with this, could be a problem with age, medicine, money, politics, global warming, asteroid, my own death, the death of somebody I love, which happens in the world, right? All these things happen, right? She said everything. What would it take for you to put your hands out like she did and said, everything is working just fine?
I put it that everything's in balance.
What would it take for you to say everything's in balance? Even though your eyes report, and in the mail tomorrow you might get a dirty letter from the IRS saying, you know what, you made a mistake on your taxes 2 years ago. And according to Donna, she'd hold up that letter and say, this is working just fine. Right, Donna?
Well, obviously, I'm not living in that, but that's the difficult juxtaposition of knowing that so and struggling with the mind going back to the other way and then suffering and then going back.
Well, that's
so
right.
I'm in that place.
You walk back and forth. But yeah. You, when you stepped out of time,
you
were in the holy instant.
Yeah.
When you stepped out of time with your grandchildren, and said, I never left. It's the love never left. Everything that matters is continuous. And you felt it and you knew it. And that's vision. That's great. I'm just doing a pop quiz. And Andrew Huang, perhaps because he's so new, maybe he's the most likely person to be able to answer this. No pressure, Andrew. But step it up, buddy. What does it say in the front of your book? What do you need to be able to go from some good, some bad, to all working fine? What would that take to be able to be so certain to say that?
Take a miracle?
It would take a miracle! It would take a miracle, don't you know? No kidding. No kidding. Problems abound. They're going to cost money. They're going to cost time. Some of your most loved friends are going to say that this is going wrong with them or it's about to go wrong with you. You're going to have health problems. You're going to have wealth problems. You're going to have weather problems. You're going to have problems after problems with a little bit of fun in between. It would take a miracle to have the vision to see through those problems to what's really going on. It would take a miracle. But that's what we got. A Course in Miracles. That's exactly what we're doing. Thank you. Julie, tell me something about vision.
Everybody gave very beautiful answers. I'm going to say that mine's in the realm of the practical. You asked the question of what does vision give? And for me, I had a flash of just so many times that I was able to see things differently. So miracles occurred, or I was able to stop the thought train, and, you know, got rid of a 30-year fear of the dark, you know, have ended relationships, started relationships, whatever it is, without the angst, just being able to do what, I forget who said it, but it doesn't actually matter. Like, I give it the meaning it has for me. So what vision gives me is the ability to release just completely, and freedom.
The ability to release. Vision gives her the ability. And I think it was Luann. Somebody said it's, you know, the power of love. What could love possibly do? What power could it apply in a world of separation and limit? It would give you the ability to release what's wrong about it and let the love shine through, be reflected. You would need the ability to not follow the ego. Because everything in this world, all your friends are not Course in Miracles students, and even the ones that are, probably follow the ego first. Maybe even you do that sometimes. And then later you go, oh, wait, I could see a piece of this, nothing, I'm not upset for the reason I think. Oh, all right, get back in control. Vision gives you the ability to release. It gives you the ability to apply the power of oneness, the power of love, the power of what we call light in A Course in Miracles. It's always available, but not if you don't turn the darn thing on. Good, good, beautiful. Judy, what can you tell us about vision?
Vision. I reflected on the early lessons. You know, this is about my fifth time through. The early lessons of the first four just take away everything I see. So I'm thinking, this must have something to do with real seeing. And then the Course gives me back non-illusion.
Yes.
Gives me back the real stuff.
Yes. It is both an undoing and a doing that way. Allows you to let go of all the past, the stuff you made up. Those first lessons are so clear about holding you out to dry and say, look, you're making it up. Even as you read this, you're making it up. In fact, why don't we sit all day and have you look around and admit that you're making up everything? That's pretty harsh, those first few lessons. But you can't deny it. Beautifully said. Oh, God, it's wonderful. Yeah, five times through? Yeah, every time for me. Those first lessons are just so cleansing of the way that my ego's interpretations get in the way of everything so quickly. Beautiful. But five times through, you know about the other second half of the workbook, and you know about how the Course in Miracles then begins to heal the divide, that vision begins to show you the sameness and what appeared as different with the eyeballs. Vision, with your spiritual eye, begins to show you the sameness that they share. And that just changes the nature of everything. Beautiful. Good. I think it sounds pretty good. Cool. Okay, let's jump in and let's get some traction on section 8. So go to page 441 in the text. 441. And we're going to start the section called The Vision of Sinlessness.
Andrew, can I ask you a really quick question?
You bet.
It's just about the page number. Yeah. Did we just go back to where we like left off when we left off in person?
We
okay.
Did.
Okay, yeah. I thought that. So we took a diversion for a while, and we're back.
We took a diversion for a while. Yeah, we did, and we investigated a few notes that I had on fear. And so we just kind of swam around all these different topics and I had on fear, because I figured fear and the pandemic and everything, maybe people would have that up. And then so once we finish those, we jump back to where we left off 9 months ago. Is that what it is? Is it nine?
Seven.
Months? 7 months ago.
But that means we're two pages from the Forgotten Song, which is going to be beautiful.
Oh, my
okay.
God.
Thank
you're
you.
Right.
Thank we're you about- for clarifying that.
We are about five pages from The Forgotten Song, chapter 21. How cool is that? Yeah. Oh, it's good stuff. Oh, my God. And From Responsibility of Sight is coming up. Oh, my God. That's going to be great. Coming soon to a Zoom meeting near you. Okay. So, Luann, when you're ready, would you start reading for us The Vision of Sinlessness? Hi, Jason.
Heaven will come to you at first in glimpses, but they will be enough to show you what is given you who see your brother sinless. Truth is restored to you through your desire, as it was lost to you through your desire for something else. Open the holy place that you closed off by valuing the something else, and what was never lost will quietly return. It has been saved. Must not live that life. It has been saved for you. Vision would not be necessary had judgment not been made. Desire now its whole undoing, and it is done for you.
That's great. We'll dig in on that paragraph in a few minutes. Ross, you read for us paragraph 2. Jason, we're on page 442 in the text. Good.
Do you not want to know your own identity? Would you not happily exchange your doubts for certainty? Would you not willingly be free of misery and learn again of joy? Your holy relationship offers all this to you. As it was given you, so will be its effects. And as its holy purpose was not made by you, the means by which its happy end is yours is also not of you. Rejoice in what is yours, but for the asking. And think not that you need make either means or end. All this is given you who would but see your brother sinless. All this is given, waiting on your desire but to receive it. Vision is freely given to those who ask to see.
Beautiful. Thank you. Michaeline, would you read for us paragraph 3, please? Mute yourself first.
Sorry, I keep forgetting to do that. Your brother's sinlessness is given you in shining light to look on with the Holy Spirit's vision and to rejoice in along with him. For peace will come to all who ask for it with real desire and sincerity of purpose, shared with the Holy Spirit and at one with him on what salvation is. Be willing, then, to see your brother sinless, that Christ may rise before your vision and give you joy. And place no value on your brother's body, which holds him to illusions of what he is. It is his desire to see his sinlessness, as it is yours. And bless the Son of God in your relationship, nor see in him what you have made of him.
Beautiful. Good, good, good. Jacqueline, would you do 4 for us, please?
The Holy Spirit guarantees that what God willed and gave you shall be yours. This is your purpose now, and the vision that makes it yours is ready to be given. You have the vision that enables you to see the body not. And as you look upon your brother, you will see an altar to your Father, holy as heaven, glowing with radiant purity and sparkling with the shining lilies you laid upon it. What can you value more than this? Why do you think the body is a better home, a safer shelter for God's Son? Why would you rather look on it than on the truth? How can the engine of destruction be preferred and chosen to replace the holy home the Holy Spirit offers, for he will dwell with you.
Donna, 5.
The body is the sign of weakness, vulnerability, and loss of power. Can such a Savior help you? Would you turn in your distress and need for help unto the helpless? Is the pitifully little the perfect choice to call upon for strength? Judgment will seem to make your Savior weep. Yet it is you who need his strength. There is no problem, no event or situation, no perplexity that vision will not solve. All is redeemed when looked upon with vision. For this is not your sight and brings with it the lost beloved of him whose sight it is.
Oh yeah, sounds good. Julie, give us six.
Everything looked upon with vision falls gently into place, according to the laws brought to it by his calm and certain sight. The end for everything he looks upon is always sure, for it will meet his purpose, seen in unadjusted form and suited perfectly to meet it. Destructiveness becomes benign, and sin is turned to blessing under his gentle gaze. What can the body's eyes perceive with power to correct? Its eyes adjust to sin, unable to overlook it in any form and seeing it everywhere in everything. Look through its eyes, and everything will stand condemned before you. All that could save you, you will never see. Your holy relationship, the source of your salvation, will be deprived of its meaning and its holy purpose bereft of means for its accomplishment.
Oh, yeah. I've got to make a note here before we get that paragraph. Good, good. And Judy, would you bring for us paragraph 7? Hey, Tim, welcome.
Judgment is but a...
Tim, we're on page 443 in the text, paragraph 7.
Judgment is but a toy, a whim, the senseless means to play the idle game of death in your imagination. But vision sets all things right, bringing them gently within the kindly sway of heaven's laws. What if you recognize this world is an hallucination? What if you really understood you made it up? What if you realized that those who seem to walk about in it to sin, die, attack, and murder, and destroy themselves are wholly unreal? Could you have faith in what you see if you accepted this? And would you see it?
There's a pretty big clue on what the author thinks about this world. Nice. And Andrew, would you read for us 8?
Hallucinations disappear when they are recognized for what they are. This is the healing and the remedy. Believe them not, and they are gone. And all you need is to recognize that you did this. Once you accept the simple fact and take onto yourself the power you gave them, you are released from them. One thing is sure. Hallucinations serve a purpose. And when that purpose is no longer held, they disappear. Therefore, the question never is whether you want them, but always do you want the purpose that they serve. This world seems to hold out many purposes, each different and with different values. Yet, they are all the same. Again, there is no order, only a seeming hierarchy of values.
This paragraph is a summary of A Course in Miracles, what the work is. Andrew, do you know what the miracle principles are yet?
Like in depth?
No. No, God. Just where are they? You know, the front of the book, page 3, I think.
Yeah.
They start. Look at miracle principle number 1. Everybody go there. And like I say, Andrew, you just got to ignore this for a while. And read it, But don't try to understand it, especially the first five paragraphs. Just let them soak in. But after you read the manual, it'll make a lot more sense. But there's so much packed in here. Are you a computer guy, Andrew?
Yeah.
Do you know the term? Well, you know, it's an old computer term. Jeez, I used to use interlacing. Do you know what interlacing is? Not anymore, because they don't do it anymore in monitors. But anyway, there are, I think, maybe the number's seven or more layers of teaching that are all available. Well, forget the technical stuff. There are seven or so layers of teaching that are embedded in the same paragraph or the same pages that you're looking at. This is why you will find people like myself. I have lots of books, but I've read this particular book over and over and over again for 27 years. Because every time I think I'm done, I say, well, let me just see if I missed anything. And my God, my awareness given from one reading will open my ability to see another layer written on the same page. So some of this stuff you won't be ready for. Others, you're totally ready for. That's why it's there. You'll just eat it up. And then you read the next sentence and go, but what does this mean? Don't worry about it. Just keep reading. It'll meet you where you are. So look at the miracle principle. It's a sweet little message that gives a lot of hope. Could you read that for us, Andrew?
You mean the principle?
Yep.
Number one?
Yep.
There is no order of difficulty in miracles. One is not harder or bigger than another. They are all the same. All expressions of love are maximal.
Well, I hope that gives you some hope that what we're talking about here is simple. It doesn't necessarily say easy, but if it's all the same order of difficulty, if you can do one, you can do them all. It's a big hint that'll make more and more sense as you go along. And then it even throws in this little four-letter word at the end of that principle. It has a huge amount of leverage. Love. What a mysterious term. This book uses it better than any book I've ever read. Yeah. Good. Okay, so that's a crazy paragraph. Can't wait to get there. We are on our way. Now we're up to Jason, I believe. Jason, you want to read for us tonight?
What paragraph? Nine?
Yeah, nine.
I thank you, Father, knowing you will come too close.
Wait, we're on page 443.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was ahead. Yeah, right, sorry. That was bad. My other finger. Okay. Just a second.
This is great. This is it's black and white, in your face. Jesus speaks so confidently. Another value of this book is the authority which it's written about my awakening.
Sister.
Love it as a guide.
Number nine. Only two?
Yep.
Only two purposes are possible, and one is sin, the other holiness. Nothing is in between. In which you choose determines what you see. For what you see is merely how you elect to meet your goal. Hallucinations serve to meet the goal of madness. They are the means by which the outside world, projected from within, adjusts to sin and seem to witness to its reality. It still is true that nothing is without. Yet upon nothing are all projections made, for it is the projection that gives the nothing all the meaning that it holds.
Oh, this is so tight. This is so tight. I love it. Tim, would you read for us paragraph 10?
Paragraph 10. What has no meaning cannot be perceived. And meaning always looks within to find itself, and then it looks out. Man. All meaning that you give the world outside must thus reflect the sight you saw within. Or better, if you saw at all or merely judged against. Vision is the means by which the Holy Spirit translates your nightmares into happy dreams, your wild hallucinations that show you all the fearful outcomes or imagined sin into the calm and gentle sights and sounds are looked on happily and heard with joy. They are his substitutes for all the terrifying sights and screaming sounds the ego's purpose brought to your horrified awareness. They step away from sin, reminding you that it is not reality which frightens you, and that the errors which you made can be corrected.
Beautiful. Oh, good stuff. And now we're back. Has everybody read, right?
Have you?
Luann. Number 11.
Yeah. When you have looked on what seemed terrifying and seen it change to sights of loveliness and peace, when you have looked on scenes of violence and death and watched them change to quiet views of gardens under open skies with clear, life-giving water running happily beside them and dancing brooks that never waste away, who need persuade you to accept the gift of vision? And after vision, who is there who could refuse what must come after? Think but an instant just on this. You can behold the holiness God gave his Son, and never need you think that there is something else for you to see.
Oh, perfect! Man, is he mopping this one up very clean. I just love it. It's going to be very, very good, very easy for us to go through. Nice, nice, nice. Okay, now let's go back to page 441 and dig in. So 441, paragraph 1. Ross, would you read that again for us?
Vision will come to you at first in glimpses, but they will be enough to show you what is given you who see your brother sinless. Truth is restored to you through your desire, as it was lost to you through your desire for something else. Open the holy place that you closed off by valuing the something else, and what was never lost will quietly return. It has been saved for you. Vision would not be necessary had judgment not been made. Desire now its whole undoing, and it is undone. It is done for you.
There's just nothing but good news in this whole section. This is great. Okay, look what he just read. Sentence 5. Vision would not be necessary had judgment, another one of our leverage terms in busting the ego. When are you using your ego instead of your Holy Spirit? The question will come up many times. Am I hearing the Holy Spirit? How do I know it's the Holy Spirit telling me what to do, etc.? Big clue right here, J word. It would not be necessary. Vision would not be necessary had judgment not been made. Ooh. Okay, that's a big clue here. First part of the paragraph, vision will come to you at first at glimpses, of course, because we're so deeply steeped in trust what we think will keep us safe. We trust what we think will keep us safe, which means we also have faith in what we think will keep us safe. And because we're living with bodies and protecting our comfort and our bank accounts and our self-esteem and our health and our loved ones, etc., 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 much of what we think will keep us safe has to do with the physical world still. But if you live long enough, and if you try hard enough to bring love into your world, to make love work for you as strength, if you live long enough, the world's reality, in quotes, leaks it kind of falls apart here and there because it is actually a dream. It does not contain truth. And because of what you actually are, you hunger for truth. You've had a great time. You had a great time juggling and with this whole circus of the world, and you've done some really cool stuff. It's been quite entertaining and really interesting. And none of it's a sin. What you truly hunger for is the truth. If you're studying A Course in Miracles, I'm talking to you. Many people, they can't look at all these words and pages with no pictures even. And say, what to get out of this? But you who can, it's because it's feeding you. It's feeding a specific hunger that you have. And it's saying, here's your mana. Here's what you need. You'll see it at glimpses because you're so drunk on the world and being in a body. But because you are hungry for the truth, and this will touch you in your heart and in your mind as we work through it, it is feeding the light in you. And that light is getting stronger. And it's shining on your understanding of the world. And it will free you. This is your chosen way out. So it comes to you first in glimpses. But as we've heard from the people describing their experiences of vision, it will be enough to show you what is given you who see your brother sinless. The idea here is what is given you, to show you what is given you. On your own, if you did not read A Course in Miracles or make any move towards a spiritual awakening, that's what I mean by on your own. If you stayed with your ego beliefs and ego trainings and all that, the world will continue just fine. And you could have lifetime after lifetime of limit after limit pursuing perfection in a body. You can do this. What has been in you is this light that is being fed by getting exposed to the truth. It's the part of you that wakes up. The part of you that when you're doing your Course in Miracles lessons or your phrases or during these meetings and something hits you and you go, oh yeah, that's long-term keeper. That part of you is waking up. This is the leverage of vision because it knows that you hunger for the truth. The author knows it, of course, of what you are. Sentence two. Oh man, I guess this is kind of as much bad news as it is good news. Truth is restored to you through your desire. As truth was lost to you through your desire. Kind of both good news and bad news. But you know what? It's the teaching. Because it's true. You're not a puppet. You're not a puppet! You're not a puppet. You are a creator, and you've been living, turns out, the life that you've chosen with each of your thoughts. And so your desire is critical to your awakening, your true desire. And we have to get past your ego desires, but if you're reading A Course in Miracles, you're already motivated to do that. But you have to be aware that your first desire is going to be egotistic. It's natural and normal for those who are drunk on the ego. It's natural and normal. It's not a sin. Doesn't mean you regressed. But it won't be something you want to feed anymore because your vision has served you well. Because you've had holy instants around very dark things in this world. And you found a way to see light there. When that happens, you will trust. Your faith will grow. And this thing I'm talking to you about that is in each of you is being fed. It's your true self. It's your awakening back to your spiritual self and a letting go of your identity with your false self. What am I talking about? How does this work? What's the practical side? But of course, we would need that. in order to actually progress away from being so addicted. So let me just show you one paragraph where, yeah, there's so many, but let's just pick an early one where the Course is clearly saying, you're not going to find a guru. He's going to come into your life and lead you to heaven. Nope. This is an inside job. A Course in Miracles and your own spiritual awakening, you will do this. There are pointers like the book or me or Julie or Tim or people who've gone ahead of you will be pointing, but nobody can take steps for you. So go to page, hold your finger here, we're coming right back. Go to page 90. This is one of our toolbox items, front of the book. This is a great thing to remember when things are falling apart, but you just want to get back on track. And you know you can, you just lost your way. You know you can, but you're so upset by this thing. You just want to get back. Go to page 90 if that happens. You know, it's one of the places you can go. On my website, you can go to, I forget where it is, tools, to study tools, and you'll see the Course in Miracles toolbox. Print that out, use it as a bookmark. It has this on it, along with 10 or 15 other places in the book where you can go when the shit hits the fan and just life really sucks. It'll guide you through some of these hot spots in the Course in Miracles. Now, what we're talking about here is where the Course says to you, you will do this. This will not be done for you. It can't be done for you, it turns out, because of what you are. Nobody can do anything for you. That would take away your freedom. You are a creator, and you're creating each moment as you go along. This you awaken to. This you awaken to. This you will awaken to. You awaken from victimhood. So the idea that somebody or something would change you, that dream must end. Good news and bad news. I know. So, let's have Michaeline read for us. Yeah, the whole paragraph, paragraph 6.
Okay. Perfect. Decision cannot be difficult. This is obvious if you realize that you must already have decided not to be wholly joyous, if that is how you feel. Therefore, the first step in the undoing is to recognize that you actively decided wrongly, but can as actively decide otherwise. Be very firm with yourself in this, and keep yourself fully aware that the undoing process, which does not come from you, is nevertheless within you because God placed it there. Your part is merely to return your thinking to the point at which the error was made, and give it over to the atonement in peace. Say this to yourself as sincerely as you can, remembering that the Holy Spirit will respond fully to your slightest invitation. I must have decided wrongly because I am not at peace. I made the decision myself, but I can also decide otherwise. I want to decide otherwise because I want to be at peace. I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let Him. I choose to let Him by allowing Him to decide for God for me.
Can you feel the asking going on there? That's asking. That's taking responsibility for having put blocks in front of your own eyes with judgment. And asking for the power of love, the power of holiness, the power of truth to come in and wake you up from your illusions. So much so that the Holy Spirit is the part of your mind still connected to the truth. It's different than what I learned in catechism. In this book, there are like 21 terms that are redefined in A Course in Miracles, and it won't be what you find in the dictionary. But it's all of them are good news. All of them are self-empowering.
Would it be okay for me to tell a story about what's going on for me today about this?
Sure.
So I've been practicing this for the last week, this process. And the one that came up to me not too long ago was years ago, 29 years ago, my daughter's wedding. I'd been divorced a year. And, you know, you have that dance where you're supposed to dance with the mother and the father of the daughter. So my ex-husband comes up and he wants to hold me right up tight against his chest. He's got another girlfriend, by the way. And I push and he won't let go. He won't have one inch. And I feel like I'm smothered. And I've been thinking about what my mistake was today. And it reminded me tonight in our talk that my mistake was thinking that my safety was being upset by what he was doing. So it was all about my body. It wasn't really about who I am. I'm still in the process of asking the Holy Spirit to help me in this, and I haven't quite gotten a complete feeling yet. But
that was 29 years ago today, and it's as if it happened yesterday.
Yes.
Because it did. It happened this morning.
It happened
now. This is great. Thank you, Luann. It's a really, really good. I think all of us can feel that little conflict going on there. You know, half of us are thinking one side, half are thinking the other side. But boy, that's a really good example. Course in Miracles works in all time, in all dimensions of time. Because we're correcting the whole idea of time and everything, all the perverted things that you've used your creative mind to do in time, including 29 years ago, it's just as applicable because it's now. It's here now in your mind. So it's just applicable. It's just as usable, if not more usable, by the Holy Spirit. Because, wow, are you going to do a forehead slap when you finally do the miracle, forgiveness, and holy instant around that moment? It's waiting for you. He is your teacher. That moment is your teacher. The Holy Spirit is waiting to, keyword now, reinterpret or translate that experience to a teaching of love and truth. It's waiting. It's all queued up. It's been waiting for 29 years. I love it. It's a great example. Now, because of the feeling that you've got stuck in your gut around that, you're going to need a miracle to see the love there, to get the understanding, to have the vision that's waiting. It's waiting.
It's waiting for me to give up the idea that I can solve it.
It's waiting. You apply your Course in Miracles to that. Good, 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 good. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Now, you want to solve it. That's already true, right? You brought an example for us right when we read, you know, page 90. So it's queued up in your mind, and you're interested. Key, key, key. Thank you. Because that's why we went to that page. There's a four-letter word in there, in that page 90, that is significant to our learning tonight. Significant. It's good news and it's bad news. But, you know, you can't get around the obviousness of it. It says in sentence 9, I want, that's the four-letter word, I want, you got a firm grasp on that, depending on your consciousness level, that too will change as you go along, but for now, you know who I is we're talking about. I want to decide otherwise. That takes a bit of courage and a bit of assumption that you could decide otherwise. But you know you can. You're a good A Course in Miracles student by now. I want to decide otherwise because... four-letter word again. I want to be at peace. Seems so obvious, right? You're a drunk in a bar, and you've got a glass and a half ahead of you. This is where you are. By the time you need this, you're an alcoholic in the bar saying, I wish I wasn't drinking. Two more. Thank you. With ice. Yeah. Forget the ice. Just give it straight. That's where you are. That's where you are in this world. When you need this paragraph, when you're on page 90 and you're not at peace because something went wrong, they shouldn't have said that. Don't they know who I am? Or don't they know what I mean? Or don't they know that I really care? Or I didn't mean what I said? Or I didn't mean what they thought I said? Don't they know that, you say? When your heart is broken, you know, usually it takes somebody who said they loved you sometime in the past to really get you. To really get you. When that happens, this is a great place to go because it really calls you out on your experience. You decided not to be at peace. They did whatever they did, and they always do, and they will again tomorrow, or somebody else will. Course in Miracles is teaching you that you will live your thoughts. Very simple math. And I have proof your whole life. That's my proof. That you will live your thoughts. My proof of that truth is your life. We can go back to anything you ever said or did or felt, and I will show you your thoughts that back it up and promote it, and that's where you got what you got and how you got there, or how you got out of there. Your thoughts are your life. So this paragraph is just pointing out the obvious. When you look at it that way, you decided not to be at peace and decided to judge or get angry or worried. And then, you know what? You started judging and getting angry and worrying. So that's what happened. Now, you turn it around. You come here and say, man, I need help. I need help. I must have decided wrongly because I'm not at peace. This is really making me upset. Look, I made the decision myself. I did. I had the power to do it, and I followed the judgment in my ego, and I got upset, and I did it, and now I'm upset. You have to admit that. But I can also decide otherwise. Now, that's going to take a miracle to get there. It's amazing this is so early in the book, but this is what you learn to do, and you learn that this power is in your hands as you do A Course in Miracles. You get to know, not guess. Those workbook lessons will catch, if you do them, like it says to do them, you will catch yourself midstream anyway, handling a problem with the ego, and your timer will go off, or you'll recognize, wait a minute, my grievances, they hide the light of the world in me. And I've got a grievance going right now. You know, you'll bust yourself with those workbook lessons, and you will know that you could decide otherwise. Now, I want to decide otherwise because I want to be at peace. Well, good. I hope so. I hope peace is your only goal. Now, a gift. Remember we just read over on page 441 that one of the things you get from vision when you try it is you get to have the experience of something being given you. Julie.
Sorry, I made reference tonight to overcoming my 30-year fear of the dark, and it just feels really relevant right now. Brilliant. That one of the things that occurred in that two-day experience was one night, it's just sort of silly, but one night I forgot that I was afraid of the dark. I can't even, it's too long a story to explain how that happened, but when I realized that I wasn't afraid in the situation I would normally be afraid in, I thought, well, like I just decided a long time ago, I had a fearful experience or two, and I decided I was afraid of the dark, and I never questioned that, and I just rode that belief for 30 years.
Wow.
And when I had the experience of not being afraid in the situation I would have, I thought, well, apparently I don't have to hold this belief. And then there's more to the story that kind of followed with the Holy Spirit. But it was a very big awakening around that choice. And I asked to be shown it differently, and I was set free. So
God, I forgot that aspect of it. That's right. Mm-hmm. That you caught yourself. Oh, I forgot to be afraid. Oh, I forgot that. That's cool. Because that's like what forgiveness, how forgiveness operates as you awaken, as your right-minded becomes your go-to. Or if you're in space, if you're in a good space and you're feeling empowered by holiness, if you feel empowered, often these workbook lessons will do that. Usually took me like 4 or 5 or 6 o'clock. By that time, I was just high as a kite on my awareness of the power and support that I have to do this. And at a time like that, you could forget all sorts of ego stories. And that's how forgiveness works, too. True forgiveness, you don't have to do anything. You've already forgiven. You're kind of laughing that you used to get upset at things like that.
You know, one of the best aspects of this whole thing for me is once when it says the next sentence, the consequences all disappear, it's like the consequence is for 29 years, it's gone. Because as Donna and Julie were saying, I think it was Julie, time doesn't mean anything. I mean, there's no such thing as time. So once it's gone, it's been gone. It's just never been there.
It's never been there. Beautiful. You bet. That's the gift that it will be given you. That it was just given you now. And you gave it to us. This is what vision does and what a miracle does. A miracle is a gift. It's not done by you. You're the reason why you need a miracle. So it ain't you. Not done by you. But it is done through you. And it is given you by your Holy Spirit. It's something that you have denied since you've taken up a body. You've denied the reality of that. But that's what we're here to awaken. So I love it. So that's it. Good night, Michaeline. So, okay, so that's the end of our meeting. We will dig in deeper next week because this is a rich, rich discussion. It's plain English. It's relatively focused on a single level of teaching. So we're going to enjoy this section here. And I think we've nailed. You're going to move to paragraph 2 next week. I think we're okay with that. Yeah. Good, good. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for sharing. Have a good night.
Thank you, Andrew.
You're welcome.
Thank you.